Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, the Keystone Sports app as well. He's Greg Pickle. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. This is our Redshirt Review series. This is part three, I believe. The previous two parts are on KeystoneSportsNetwork.com already. We'll talk about a few more now, a few more later in the week, and then I'll be at it's a four-part series. This is part three, where we're just trying to make sure these guys don't slip off your radar, because before you know it, they could be right back on it. Name number one for this week, Greg, Fred Hansard, who he's already got a good reputation to me because he helps snap Penn State's unlucky streak or losing streak, however you want to put it, on the recruiting trail at defensive tackle. To get him and flip him from his commitment to Florida in the 17 class, I thought was huge. And he also is huge at 6'3", 318 now. He was college ready. His frame at the start, you can't teach that kind of size and strength. I'm curious how it works for him, presumably as part of Penn State's rotation this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Penn State would be probably, well, I shouldn't speak for them, but for me personally, I'll be disappointed if he doesn't play a pretty significant role. I mean, I saw him at Lift for Life and also back during the Nittany Lions June recruiting camps that he was, you know, walking around the football facilities there. And he looks the part. I mean, he certainly has all the tools that it looks like one would need to jump into the rotation. And I mean, when you really break down what Sean Spencer has to work with there, it's not that he doesn't have a lot of bodies, but a handful of guys could step. I mean, look, Kevin Givens, Robert Windsor, those are your two starters. But after them, after those, you know, that pair, it could be anybody coming in the second string. I mean, it could be Damian Barber. It could be Fred Hansard. It could be, you know, Antonio Shelton, Ellison Jordan. I mean, Penn State has a lot of bodies there, but just like a few other positions, they don't necessarily know exactly what they have and exactly who's going to rise to the top. So I think that, you know, when it really comes down to it, Penn State has a lot to work with here. Hansard has put himself in position to really jump ahead. Now, he was already tracking correctly, and I think we knew that because he was outpacing Corey Bowles, who, of course, is transferred now to a JUCO, I think, in Arizona.
Yeah, Arizona Western, I think, is the
yeah,
one.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, he was already moving along nicely, and I think that where Penn State has to go from here is getting him ready to take the next step, make sure he can hold up against the run and knows what he's doing when it's time to rush the passer. And as long as he can do those things, he has the physicality and all the tools from a strength perspective to jump into the mix and maybe be at the top of the rotation.
That rotation and the position group is at a really interesting, I'll say, crossroads, because you've got your two guys, Robert Windsor, Kevin Givens, who have done the job. They've got a good number of snaps over the past two seasons, and both in their own regard have a way of making a big step forward now that they're in more prominent roles. But beyond them, I feel pretty good about Antonio Shelton being part of that second wave. But I don't know if anybody knows what to expect, especially in terms of health, from Ellison Jordan. And he's a real wild card in that group. And if you don't know what to expect from him, you really don't know what to expect from Damian Barber, who's making a transition from end to tackle. I thought he showed some really promising things from just a physical talent standpoint with those long arms. He's interesting. Fred Hansard, who I think is in the next wave there too. But then the guys from the 18 class coming through is they can really challenge this group for playing time. I don't know about 2018, but 2019 and beyond. So there's this weird mix of opportunity this year and urgency because the next wave with PJ Mustipher and Judge Culpepper and Aeneas Hawkins looks really, really impressive from the start. So Hansard, I don't think is any jeopardy or anything like that, but this will be an interesting year to see how, looking forward, this starts to flesh itself out.
Yeah, and just to sort of reiterate the topic here, I think that what the problem for Hansard is, and what's interesting about Mustipher and Hawkins and Judge Culpepper is, do they even need a redshirt year? Or are they capable of going right from the start, playing and making an impact in 2018? Mustipher, man, if that kid, if you haven't seen him, wait until you get to some photos of him at summer camp and just see what he looks like. I mean, he looks like a guy that can do it. I think Culpepper is definitely looks big enough, but I think he might need some time to get his feet underneath him. Hawkins probably needs a year after he missed all last season due to injury. So, yeah, Hanser's certainly not in trouble, but there's also the point that Penn State pushes competition, and they push making sure that the guys that are, you know, lower on the depth chart have a chance to push the guys and be competitive for playing time above them. And Penn State now has that at the defensive line. It's not like they didn't always have it, but it's about as good as it's ever been.
This will be, I think, is going to go down 2018 as the maybe the last low point for a while in terms of defensive tackle depth. They just didn't get enough big recruiting wins over the years, and they've made a lot out of three stars. They've made a lot out of guys who moved inside from defensive end, Anthony Zettel, Curtis Cothran. Now's the time where they're going to start taking more premium talent and seeing what they can do with it, more natural defensive tackles. And Hansard was the first wave of that. And I'll always remember him for that. The next guy on the list, Mack Hippenhammer, one of the standouts from the blue-white game, a guy that I think he's listed at the 6 foot, 190-pound range now. Wasn't really on a lot of our radars because we just hadn't seen much of him. But that was a good way to get on it, to the point where you're wondering, how do you keep a guy like this down for a while? And they've got so much depth, it's hard to figure out how it's going to sort out. But I think Hippenhammer, I don't think the blue white game was a fluke. I think his skills are legitimate.
Yeah, it's almost, I can't figure out where to fall on this line. Do I want to buy into what happens at the blue white game, or am I jaded enough by past blue white star performers?
I think the important thing is to pay attention to not the results, but how the results were obtained.
Right.
And with Hippenhammer, I'm a believer in how the results were obtained.
Yeah, I think that's 100% fair. And obviously, he wasn't going against the strongest part of the Penn State defense. But, I mean, anyone that can balance academics, Division I baseball, and Division I football is pretty special in a number of ways. And he's clearly been able to do that, Dustin, which tells me that he should be able to keep rolling and make a step forward. The question is the receivers room too full at this point in time? You have KJ Hamler as a young guy that might break out. You have Justin Shorter as a true freshman who could be an instant impact contributor. You have DeAndre Tompkins, Brandon Polk, and Juwan Johnson, Brandon Polk, and DeAndre Tompkins all back. I mean, is there enough snaps to go around for all these guys? That's really, I think, what the biggest question is regarding Hippenhammer in 2018. If he gets a lot of snaps, I think he has a chance to be, you know, among the future conversations about the most improved Penn State player in 2018. But there's a big question about whether there'll be enough reps for him to really jump into that conversation.
DeAndre Tompkins is a good player comparison for him, because Tompkins hasn't ever been on the forefront, right? And he won't be. This is his last year, and Juwan Johnson and Justin Shorter are both there. Hasn't been on the forefront, but has quietly shown a little bit of that scheme, position, versatility outside, inside. I think that's Hippenhammer's path, is that he'll be the next DeAndre Tompkins, where I don't think you ever circle him as being the guy, but can play in the slot or out wide. And Penn State's got obviously a long line of talent everywhere, but that the talent of the slot position with KJ Hamler already being there, Tompkins being there, Jahan Dotson coming on behind him. I think you're looking for guys who they're splitting the difference. They're not that 6'4" guy that Shorter or Johnson are. They're not that 5'10" dynamo that KJ Hamler is, but he's good enough and athletic enough and smooth enough to play any of those three spots. I think Penn State has made a point to recruit guys like him. Hippenhammer, I think that's his future.
I think you're right. I think that he's a guy that you could slide him inside or outside depending on what kind of defense you're playing and what sort of matchup problems he can create. He's a matchup problem, and that may lead to not as many snaps as most would expect, but a good amount and enough to make him a really relevant part of Penn State's receivers room.
You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, breaking down Penn State's 2017 recruiting class, their redshirt freshmen here coming up in the 2018 season. We are in part 3 out of 4. The other ones can be found at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The next guy here, Greg, Dez Holmes, redshirt freshman, offensive tackle, right? I don't think you're looking at swing. He's a tackle through and through. Listed now at 6'5", 306. Some real positive vibes coming out of his freshman season, when he was clearly working behind the scenes, never really going to be a factor to play right away. But a developmental player who, it seems, has taken good steps in his development behind the scenes.
Yeah, I mean, I could go into a pretty long and drawn out conversation about this, but I'll just let James Franklin do the talking. He said CJ's probably in the run game, maybe our best guy in the run. Or I'm sorry, you're talking about, I'm looking at the wrong one. CJ Thorpe is the one that's ahead in the run game, but behind in the pass game.
Yeah.
And Dez Holmes the other way around. So if you can get, if you can morph their skills and their weaknesses together at some point, you'll be pretty much good to go. But the thing with Desmond Holmes so far, and CJ Thorpe's in the same boat, is that he just hasn't been able to put it. And look, he's a young guy. I mean, young offensive linemen generally take a while to put everything together and to be at a level in Big Ten play where they can pretty much maul people at the line of scrimmage and then also correctly set their feet and drop back and really be ready to protect the quarterback. So I think the good news is, it's encouraging, I think, that both of these guys, in the area they're excelling in, they seem to have mastered it. They seem to be about as good as they, you know, should be at this point in time in the area that they have mastered or are doing better in. But it seems that they're behind, and like I said, Thorpe in pass and Holmes in run. And I think that's mostly because they didn't do those things much in high school. You know, if you look at Pittsburgh Central Catholic, where Thorpe came from, they were a lot of running and not a lot of passing. And then Holmes at Cardinal O'Hara was sort of the other way around. So I think he's a guy that's making marked improvement, and it would be nice to see him, you know, maybe get on the field goal team or something like that this fall.
And I think that's a really positive development in Penn State in their ability to recruit offensive tackles, is develop a guy like this. I think I'm more encouraged by an offensive tackle being ahead in the pass protection game and a guard being ahead in the run game. Right. I think that's a good thing to start. Last one for this edition, Donovan Johnson, who he's another guy who some real positive vibes, and you love his speed. I remember as a high school player, I love that he was a two-way player, running back too, really dynamic, but he ran like he was much bigger than his size, which I don't – he's in that 5'10", 180-pound range, 5'9", maybe. I'm looking up his dimensions now, but not a big guy.
Keep talking.
5'9", 186 is where he's listed at. Not a big guy, but super fast, and I think he's got a really good feel for football.
Yeah, I mean, I look at him and I've heard his name, you know, sort of shot around as the guy to watch for in terms of when you're asking the older players who they think the surprise or the breakout candidate might be. His name came up a couple of times at Lift for Life, and I was surprised by that because it's not that he wasn't highly regarded at high school, because he was, but there's just a crowd at that position right now, and no one seems to have, you know, obviously a couple guys have, but just the more we talk about it, there's a lot of positions on this Penn State team where you feel pretty good about your starters, but after them, you're waiting on someone to step up. This could be the year he finally does. And again, a crowded position group where playing time's up for grabs.
It's up for grabs, but they do genuinely go four deep, yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
And they've shown that if their depth is a little much there, they will move guys around to create opportunities for others. Zach McPherson benefiting that maybe for this year. Donovan Johnson maybe going ahead. All right, we're moving on here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. The fourth and final quarter come up. Ask Greg. Stay around. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.